This is Hitchhiking Off the Map. Welcome to another journey. I'm Conrad Bishop.
And Elizabeth Fuller.
And this is the third of four shows devoted to an ancient Sumerian myth honoring spring and resurrection, whether it's a messiah or your hyacinths.
We'll have the story and then our friends' responses to it, because a myth is only meaningful as it resonates in our own lives.
Frances has suffered a nervous collapse. She's reading a book her daughter has given her on mythology, and she begins to hear two voices within her, Inanna, the goddess of heaven and earth, and Inanna's twin, Ereshkigal, queen of the underworld. Her Inanna self has attained full godhood and given her children, us, the gifts of civilization.
But then she hears the rumble of the subway.
Descent of the goddess Inanna, Trenton, New Jersey, 5:42 p.m., part 3. The Descent.
The gifts are more. The gifts from the womb of Inanna are not to be numbered.
Mom, hi.
Nothing.
I don't want to make you feel as though things are going really, really great for me, and I feel almost guilty because I'm having such a great time, and you're not having a great time.
Not having a great time? She's stone cold dead.
But I don't know. I mean, I had no idea that you were so unhappy.
Wrapped around the dead. You're in blossom, you're in bloom, and you're wrapped around the dead. No roots. The tree has no roots.
I don't even know if I should send you this. I've just been babbling on and on.
When did you know you had a dead twin? Never? No, your parents didn't tell you, but you do. You have a dead twin. You're the greatest civilization ever on the face of the earth, we all know that. But you have a dead twin, and she's calling for what you promised. Your heart.
You make the descent. Nobody does it for you. And it's not because you're more screwed up than the norm. It's because now you're ready. Even if you're not.
From the great above, she sets her eye to the great below.
Seven gifts. I adorn myself by seven.
The Queen of Heaven and Earth descends to the great below.
My crown, my necklace, my belt, my cloak, my scepter, my song, my visage. My sister, whose face is dark. The time is ripe. The time is come. I descend.
5:42. It gets dark early now.
When does it start? One day, you just realize you've been reading the newspaper too much. Look in the mirror, and you don't recognize that person, although she looks familiar. First gate.
Got some ID?
I am Inanna, the Morning Star.
If you are Inanna, the Morning Star, Inanna of love, of heaven and earth, the fruit of the earth, what are you doing here? Nobody comes here if they can afford to die in Florida.
To know my
my sister.
All these keys. I never can find the right key. That's why I'm the gatekeeper.
Gatekeepers. The doctor, the lawyer, the banker, the teacher, the border guard, the man with the gun, or the great book.
Now into the realm of abundance, realm of deep knowledge, realm of dream. Abandon all hope, or if you're back to lunch. Tight squeeze, right on through, and gate by gate, unborn.
First gate.
She's very bright. She's educated. She understands pain and loss. There are books about it. Helps you grow. She's lost it.
You lost your crown. You're shorter. Nope, no returns. Law number one of the underworld, what's lost stays lost. The laws of the underworld are perfect. No question. Next.
Frank! It's dark! Frank, it's dark! It's night!
Downstairs to the Double A, change to Third Avenue for the DF and G's. Time for the closing doors.
She's got a flashlight, power at her fingertips, savings and certificates of deposit. There's always the safety net. The one thing we know how to do is take the world in our hands and make things work.
Second gate.
Yes, gate. Law number two. Do it right the first time, you still gotta do it over. What is there now, honey? What is the there? You pay me.
No.
What's this? Scepter. The scepter of power. That's cute. Second stairway.
The express is on track number two. Track number two for the express. Please stand through the doors.
She has her cloak. Remember in the blizzard around second grade? And Mama gave you her coat, and you pulled it around you tight, and it felt so good. And you'll never be cold. There's always the
third gate.
Third gate. Nobody said this wasn't going to be boring. I'll hang on to the cloak for you. You keep cold, I'll give it back. I hang on to it, and I give it back. Well, take it, honey.
It's cold. Her hands are shaking too hard.
It's cold. You need your cloak. Pick it up.
Take it.
I can't.
Take it.
Try to make an exception. It never works. Law number three, standard policy. We got standard policy. Standard policy is what keeps the dead dead. Look at any outfit that wants to keep the lid on the coffin. You'll find a policy manual.
Please stand clear of the doors. The doors are closing. Please stand clear of the closing doors.
Just keep a sharp eye. Keep your eyes open. The eye is the lamp of the body, somebody said. The eye is a casement where the heart looks out. Look out.
Fourth gate.
As we are. Necklace. Lost your necklace. For law number four, no stars. No stars, no stars.
I can't see.
That's normal.
Please stand clear of the door.
Please stand clear of the door.
Please stand.
Please, 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 please.
I've been losing things.
Fifth gate.
Number five. Well, now we get down to the basics here. That cute little belt on your hips, sexy little gadget, makes us all think about your sexy little gadget and all that trouble and all that fun. That's gonna go. It does have to go, because law number five, one size fits all. Is that okay, honey? You gotta be neutered. You take out your female stuff.
I am a nun.
The laws of the underworld are perfect. They just are.
Once I was female, and the world seemed to think that was a very interesting thing. And then it seemed like too much of a bother.
not what the world was really about. Maybe on weekends, if there's nothing better to do.
Sixth gate.
Sixth gate. So what you got left for the gatekeeper now? What you got for the man?
No more words. But when the words stop, there's still breath. Still something moving. Still reaching.
A song. Oh, yes. She's adorned with a song. Your beautiful song. Put all that love and your starlight into that one little song. Six, divest.
No more song.
I help you along here, honey. Take my hand. Take my hand. Now it gets a lot simpler now, where there's not God as much now, but more like the flabby lady in a loony bin.
I need a mirror. I need to see. I need hands. What's all the babbling? It sounds like me.
Yeah, this is the dark world. It's all babble. Like at birth. Voices, the dead have lost articulation. They mumble, sit in dark corners with the radio loud and the trash compactor. Try to remember your name. Mommy, was that my name? Honey. Next. Hey, that's my name. Next. You know, once I saw all the names. I mean, all the names. All. I don't want to see that again. Now, right stepping forward, and that's the gate.
You're naked.
Oh, sweetheart, you're naked. Isn't that something?
Isn't that something?
Seventh gate.
The seventh gate, huh? Is your sister. She's standing there. She's thinking, oh my. And now, honey, now you have no power, no bank account, no house, no dog. No cat, nor your music, nor the birds. You do not have your baby doll. You have no hope of God or saviors or goddess. You have no eternal life. You have no bladder control. You cannot feed yourself or wipe yourself. You cannot laugh or weep. And if you hear screaming, you can tell if it's you. You remember nothing. You are not remembered. You are not loved. You are not mourned. There are no snapshots of you, nor anywhere your name. That dear lady, your mother, does not recall your birth. That's about as low as it gets.
It's a very compelling myth. I can relate to it a lot. 5,000 years old, and I can see it as if I were standing directly in front of my dead twin. And I can barely breathe.
Dear sister.
And thank God it's not real. It's literature. It's old, dead mythology, and we're past all that. And my sister looks like me. Withered. She looks so real. And she sets the eye of death upon me.
She says, dear sister, I come to find you.
One holding
arms.
Want to hold you in my arms?
Love.
Love.
I have waited. You bring me your heart. I take it.
It's real.
Sister. Cut her in pieces. Hang her on hooks on the wall. Let me smell her rot.
This was part 3 of The Descent of Inanna. Next time, part 4, Resurrection.
This is Hitchhiking Off the Map.
As we mentioned earlier, our inspiration for dramatizing Inanna was a workshop given by our friend, the writer Anadea Judith.
How do you tie your thread to Inanna's descent when you're stripped down to the bone?
Elizabeth spoke with her in our studio.
When I think about that sense of being destroyed and having everything taken away from you, I think my experience back years ago when everything turned to loss for me, I lost the land I was living in, I lost the relationship I was in, I was homeless on the street with my 3-year-old son as a single mother, I didn't have a job, everything, everywhere I turned seemed to come up with dust in my hand. And when I got to that point where I was stripped bare with nothing left, there was nothing else I could do but surrender. There was nothing else left of me. And at that point, it all started to turn around. And it was only the knowing of this myth that gave me a perspective that this suffering and loss had a meaning, had a beginning, a middle, and would have an end. And there was a point where I actually, in the context of a sacred circle up at the land that I was living on, when I realized I was in the underworld and that my crime, if it were, had been a kind of arrogance that I think I possessed before this loss, and that I stripped myself down in front of everyone there and dug a hole in the earth and pounded on it, praying to Ereshkigal to let me out of the underworld. And 2 days later, everything started turning around for me. And exactly a year from the start of that was when my book was going to be published, when I met my husband. And it was like, it was so clear that it was exactly a year cycle for me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's amazing to me that in the culture that we are part of, there is so little provision for guiding and journeying in the world that is not part of our consciousness. When I think about what the loss of Ereshkigal is to Inanna, it's the loss of comfort and fluidity with the fact of the cycles that include the dark, that include dying, that include the world of dream and the world that we don't control with all of the gifts that came from Enki. We don't control those things with those.
And these were all aspects of the ancient primordial goddess who was going underground at this time historically.
So then you've got the perfect union. And when we got married very young, there was suddenly the awakening in me of this huge dread of what if something happened to him? And then the same thing came at the birth of the children, that with everything for me that tremendously gave me joy and bound me to another, there was the awakening of the thought, yeah, and
you
what if?
You could lose this, and what if?
What if? And so I think maybe when you come into that intense knowledge of connection, you can no longer evade. You're going to have to pay the bill of finding out.
Yes.
How will you deal? And when I think, well, okay, she could go down and visit her sister, but does she have to get torn to bits to do it? And then I think of all of the things that she loses going through those gates, and they're all the things that she carefully built up in her coming to power, but without Ereshkigal at her side. If we lived in a consciousness-building stream, in a society where you come into your powers hand in hand with the knowledge of your dark, with the knowledge of what Ereshkigal mm-hmm. represents, mm-hmm. then you don't have to go, maybe, mm-hmm. on that kind of journey because you've done it piecemeal all along. But if you've done like we have, and you've gone careening right up to the top of the ladder, accumulating all these goodies in your basket, you never made that link, then maybe in order to start in balance, you've got to temporarily give it all away mm-hmm. or have it taken from you.
Mm-hmm.
I was subject for a very long time to rather extreme and profound depressions and would sometimes just manage to be able to sit on it. But it was very hard to get out of bed. It was very hard, having gone to the grocery store, I would sometimes sit for half an hour in the car before I could get with the task of going on with living. And the time when I crossed over that, it's a really interesting metaphor. We were living out in the country in a rental place, and we inherited this large pile of trash wood. This was old stuff from structures and downed branches and so on. And it was ugly. But we just left it there because we didn't have to deal with it. But when I discovered that there were rats living in it mm-hmm. and we found a dead rat in our house, that was the end of it. And that happened to coincide with the time when I was in the longest running. The depression was running for much longer than normally I had expected before it would start to lift. And I just lost it. And it was raining. And I went out and I created a rock circle in the backyard. And I started dragging stuff from that pile and burning it. Mm. I carried it inside the circle and burning it. And I wouldn't accept any help from anybody. I had to do it myself. And the family just let me be, let me alone. And for an entire weekend, I stood out in the rain and burnt that pile of wood. And when I'd finished it, I was outside the shell that I'd been in, and I never went in again.
Wow, you burned up.
I burned it all up. And I was out there, I was weeping and hollering, and I was not doing this gently.
Mm-hmm.
I was swearing and cussing and crying and howling. And I think maybe I put a lot of that into that wood and burnt it.
Mm-hmm.
It was just sopping in the mud and the mm-hmm. snot and the tears and going all the way down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The things you lose. The things that get taken away from Inanna on the descent.
And at each one, she, like all of us when that happens, objects and says, hey, wait, you can't take this.
Yeah.
And she's told, quiet, Inanna, the ways of the underworld are perfect and may not be questioned. There is no getting out of it. There are no substitutes to what we must lose if we are really to get down to our core. And what it does is it strips her of those things we often use to separate us from other people. Oh, I have a degree and you don't, or I have money and you don't, or I have this power and you don't. But when you strip people naked and you strip them of their intelligence and their power and their jewelry and their money and all of that, and you put them together, there is no difference. We recognize our commonalities instead of our differences. I think another aspect, too, is that she got all those gifts from the masculine. She got them from her father.
Mm.
She went up and got drunk with her father. Her mother wasn't there. You know, her sister wasn't there. It was just her and dad. He was the one that held the gifts of civilization and granted them to her. And having it only from the male, the conscious side, the heavenly side, she had to complete herself by connecting with her sister, connecting with the dark feminine in order to balance the gifts that she got from the masculine. And at that point of hitting bottom, that is when you are open to a spiritual infusion, so to speak. We have to be stripped of our defenses that we normally hold on to, our props and our false ego states. And when we are stripped down bare, brought to our knees, that's when we can really be taught. That's when we are open to someone else's wisdom, when we have run out of tricks ourselves and we have run our own style into the ground. And then I say, okay, I don't know. Tell me, teach me, show me.
It's a kind of terrifying thing in terms of thinking where we are right now, our society, not humankind, but us in the United States, where we are right now in terms of having power and wealth and control
mm-hmm.
and not connecting it with any of these other things. And it's potentially fairly terrifying to think, well, are we going to have to lose it all in order to understand how to have it?
And in order to gain our humility of having it, you know, we must hold it with humility, and we must hold it with the knowledge that not everyone on the planet has this kind of wealth. And we must hold it with a sense of the abundant gift that it is and the incredible responsibility that it compels.
This is Hitchhiking Off the Map. Anadea Judith's website is www.sacredcenters.com. And again next time, part 4 of The Descent of Inanna, Resurrection.
This is a production of The Independent Eye, written by Bishop and Fuller, music by Elizabeth Fuller.
And inspiration from the ancient poets of the land that is now Iraq. The original texts of the myth are scattered through scholarly journals, but a very readable version is Inanna, Queen of Heaven and Earth by Diane Wolkstein and Samuel Noah Kramer, available everywhere. And our full audio drama is available on CD.
Hitchhiking is supported by the National Endowment for the Arts
and by the Hitchhikers Guild. We depend heavily on your support. Visit our website at www.independenteye.org.
And enjoy the gorgeous sunlight.
And this other thing about loss, I was talking with a friend the other night about Las Vegas and the gambling there. It just came up in the conversation. And he was talking about how when people go and they gamble everything and they lose, that the actual attraction for gambling has something to do more with the loss than with the winning. And they come out and they play and they play and they play until it's all gone. And then they come out with their eyes glazed, but they have, like Inanna, been stripped down. And they have gotten to a core experience that doesn't happen when you win.